tell you, Jesus, Jesus is my rock, my rock, my sword and shield, and he's my whip. In the middle, oh, he guides my footstep. Yes, he do. I tell you, Jesus. Oh, I tell you, Jesus. And he's a my will in the middle. Oh, he got my footsteps. Yes, he do. I tell you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, Rock of Ages, live for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I get tired, I get weak, I get worn, oh Lord. I done read in his word where he'd feed the little bird. I tell you, my Jesus, yes, he is. Look for me, Lord, let me hide myself in thee. I get tired, I get weak, I get worn, oh Lord. I done read in his word where he feed the little birds. I tell you, Jesus. Myself in thee, tired, weak, worn, oh Lord. We done read in your word, Lord, how you feed the little bitty bird. I tell you, Jesus. I say, Jesus. Anybody know Jesus? I say, Jesus, sometimes hungry, sometimes crying, sometimes feel up, wet with tears. I call him Jesus. A way out of no way. A way out of no way. He's been food for the hungry. He's been a lawyer in a courtroom. I call him Jesus. Anybody know him as Jesus? Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I say Jesus. Hope for tomorrow. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. My rock, my soul. I call him Jesus. Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He's the rock. He's the rock. The roads are sharing. Oh, Jesus. I call him Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The more I call him, the better I feel. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hey, Jesus. 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 Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. My rock, my sword and shield. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus is my rock. My rock, my sword, and shield. He is a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Amen. And you know, sometimes things come into your mind and into your head. And this week, there was a song that just jumped on me. Amen. And she can get me later. She can get me later. She can get me later. Amen. But there was a song that said, oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. And I thought about my aunt. I'm telling you. And I texted to myself. That's how you know. Amen. I text the song title to myself. Amen. Now she can, amen. Can she sing a little bit of that, please? Amen. Amen. She used to pull rank on me. But we thank God. Is God good? Amen.
I thought you were talking about act.
She pulled rank too.
Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. How y'all doing? Amen. I'm sorry, y'all. It's been a minute. Amen. The Lord is good all by himself. Amen. Is that it? Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment. And his blood has made me whole. You can take it up to G. Oh, it is Jesus. That's G. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment. Sing, Lucy. And his blood has made me whole. Now, it's been a long time for this verse. I've tried all I could. Seems like nothing could do me any good. Then I heard Jesus, he was passing by. Then I decided to give him a try. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood made me whole. One more time. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment. His blood has made me whole.
The hem of his garment and his blood has made me whole. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. A praise in this place. He is worthy. Thank God for the song. Thank God for everybody in the building. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to 2 Corinthians, beginning at the 6th chapter. Beginning at the 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians, beginning at the first verse. And it reads, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the time of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and much patience and affliction and necessities and in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, and in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by the love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by the honor, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, but possessing all things. Somebody say all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, and our heart is enlarged. That means it's wide open unto you. And the reason why I could share what I shared, even through conviction, is because I love you. Amen. And we have a love for them. Yet are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Amen. That you be affectionate to Paul as he is affectionate to you. Don't get mad. Don't get upset because of the truth. Amen. That he's dealing with in the order in the church. But let the truth of the word of God have its way. That's what he was saying in those verses there. But also our focal verse, and God just broke my heart to this word grace. In verse 1, he says, when then as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Amen. Receive not the grace of God in vain. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Amen. We just want to talk about the compelling grace. The compelling grace of God. The compelling grace of God. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you to know that you alone are God, and beside you there is none other. God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you. Who in the world can do us like you can, or like your love can? God, we thank you to know, for by that same grace are we saved, through faith not of ourselves, but it's the perfect gift of God. So we thank you, oh God. Just continue to overwhelm us by this awesome love, where you reached out your extended arm through your Son, Jesus Christ, where you were also too holy to look upon sin. But the Bible says that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling us back to yourself, not imputing our trespasses upon us, but you imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the grace, oh God, that we're overwhelmed with, the fact that a holy God would love us, to see about us, to give his only begotten Son for us. Oh God, so we thank you. Crucify my very flesh, oh God, that I won't speak out of me. Oh God, that you will handle, oh God, but that your love, your gospel message will compel to the very hearts, even in this place. God, that even on this hurricane Sunday or this rainy Sunday, oh God, we will know that we heard from you. God, we love you and we bless you and we praise you, for it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 The compelling grace of God. And we just thank God for who he is. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his love. So We just thank God for this chapter, for these verses here. And I'm not going to be up long so we can be going into our communion. Paul, and thank God for the word that was preached by Minister Tober on last week. Amen. Amen. We were blessed. And we thank God for just the order that God gives in the church and what he gave to this Corinthian church. And guess what? We preach Corinthians all the time. We're here all the time. But it's the praying through the Corinthians where we're discovering there's so much. I have never preached 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We've dealt with 3, 4, and 5 all the time, but not chapter 6. And God is just enrichly blessing us through getting up in the morning and getting on the line. And so when he says here, we then, in verse 1, chapter 6, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. And when you look at verse 1 of chapter 6, it's really tied into verse 20 and 21 of the previous chapter. And so that's where the challenge is. Where when we take a look at, and I'm just going to read this in chapter 5, verse 18, above it says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, all of us, y'all, listen, have committed unto all of us the word of reconciliation. That's the ministry of reconciliation that we are all responsible for. The ministry of reconciliation is not just for the preacher or the deacon or the choir, but the ministry of reconciliation is for us all. And now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when we see this first verse, he says, we then as workers together, somebody say together, we're together, we're workers together. Together, we're ambassadors together. Together, we're called to reconcile together. And guess what? Thank God for Reverend Williams. We're always talking about God not called us or just we're not reconciled to the people that we're already friends with and the people that we're already good with. But even to our enemies, that's where the compelling grace of God and the compelling love of God has to go to people that don't like us. Because guess what? Paul had a bunch of people in this church that he had ruffled some feathers. He had a bunch of people in his church that didn't like him, even to challenging his credentials in chapter 3 and challenging his apostleship and all that to throw a distraction to the convicting word of the truth of God that Paul was preaching to these in Corinth. Amen. And so Paul, we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. And that means, and what he's saying is when you look at chapter 5, and to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and what he's done for us, and to know that God was in Christ Jesus because his eyes were too holy to look upon our sin. And so what we didn't deserve, amen, what we deserved, we didn't really get. And we got what we didn't deserve. And he's now lavished us with his grace and his righteousness that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And when you think about that love and that grace, wherewith he saved us and he called us. That ought to be the compelling. We talk about compelling love, but that ought to be the grace that God captured us in. And that ought to be the grace that we operate out of. Amen. Because it's so easy to see what everybody else is doing. It's so easy to see our suffering and our pain. But to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. Amen. That's what our hearts have to be overwhelmed with and consumed with here this morning. And what does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? It means to receive the goodness and the favor of God, yet to hinder the work of grace in one's life. What does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? It means that you can still hold on to stuff. I love you, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Well, then you haven't forgiven them. And I say it all the time, people can hold on to stuff. And no wonder why their faces are contorted and just mean. Amen. But guess what? We're going to love them anyway. And guess what, y'all? We've got to love people anyway. Amen? And 1 Corinthians, when we talk about this grace of God, the favor of God, yet to hinder the work of grace of God in one's life, it means to receive, when you have the grace of God, it means to receive the favor of God. And to fail in what? And to fail is to miss the mark, because the same grace that God had for me in chapter 5, the same ministry of love and reconciliation that God had for me, the same that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world back to himself. And guess what? Now Christ is in me, through the aid of the Holy Ghost. And as God, amen, Christ reconciled the world back to God, guess what, y'all? We've got to reconcile the world through us back to Christ. Is it us? No. But it's the Christ in us, where this world needs to see a demonstration of that love. And I thank God, amen, I don't want to talk about my father. But he used to talk about the King help us. Amen. When you have the King help us, I can't help myself. People look at me mean. Guess what? But I can't help it. I'm just crazy. I'm just a fool for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul calls himself. He calls himself a fool for Christ. He calls himself an open spectacle, giving and crucifying his life every single day. The Bible says, Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must first what? Deny himself. Take up his what? Cross and follow me. And guess what, y'all? It is so liberating. It's liberating to know that you used to have a problem with somebody, but something hit you, something took you over, and guess what? You don't hold it anymore. And you see them in Walmarts. And it's just like, man, I know I used to have a problem, and it's looking at you like you still got a problem. But when you're consumed by this compelling love and by this compelling grace, amen, you can't help yourself but to love them for real. And that's why, man, the heart of this ministry, the heart of people and pastors and preachers, it's got to be love. It's got to be love. It's got to be love. Amen. And listen, and this is what Paul said. We talk about the compelling grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored. Listen, and he's not talking about works. He's talking about something on the inside that compelled him to go. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter, I'm back here, 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, by the grace of God, toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me or in me. And it is the compelling grace, amen, that we have to have. And so the first point I have is the same thing as the text, as the title. It's got to be a compelling grace. It's the grace of God. Amen. Because in that grace is love. And in that grace is love. And that love is the power of that grace. And it's that grace that we operate out of. It's that grace and with where we stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us. And we thus judge that if one die for all," guess what, church? We are all dead. So it's his love that compels us into that grace. Romans chapter 1. Y'all just can't keep up, just write them down. Romans chapter 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith," where? "Into this grace wherein we stand." It's in this grace where we stand. It's in this grace wherewith we operate. It's in this grace where we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. And that's the grace that we're talking about. And Paul, listen, Paul was willing to do most anything to make sure that he gave no offense in ministry. And so he goes on to say, we then as workers with him beseech you also that we receive the grace of God, that we receive not the grace of God in vain. And then verse 2 of our text says, "For he saith, I've heard thee in an accepted time. And in the day of salvation, I have secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then in verse 3, he says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." He wanted to make sure that there were no aughts or schisms in the ministry. And the way he made sure was presenting himself to the death of himself through the suffering of self. Amen. And we're going to get there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Amen. And guess what? Paul was willing to do anything to make sure that the grace of God in his preaching did not offend anybody. Yes, he was going to tell you the truth. Yes, there was conviction. And yes, there was power. But the centrifuge, the power in his preaching, and the power in his preaching, and his power to deliver these letters of Jesus Christ came through his own co-crucifixion in the cross. Amen. Listen, and even to the point he was willing to forego his salary as a minister. He said he didn't want that getting in the way of presenting the gospel. And boy, they was coming up with some kind of stuff. They was accusing him of everything. They was challenging his authority. They were challenging his apostleship. They were challenging his he was taking money from the people. And Satan, listen, y'all, Satan was working behind the scenes to present this message. Hallelujah. He was working behind the scenes to prevent this message of love and true deliverance, the message of true bondage breakers, chain breakers, shackle breakers. Satan was trying to prevent it. Listen, this was one of the most powerful letters. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, one of the most powerful epistles where Paul set the record straight: fornication. Amen. And one young man sleeping with his stepmother and all the sin that was running rampant in the church. And the devil was doing all he can to throw salt in the game of Paul. That the gospel message not go forth. Amen. Listen, that's why I couldn't wait to turn there. I'm like a kid. I'm like a kid on Christmas. Amen. Is the word good, y'all? Amen. 1 Corinthians, listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him being crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Who was he fearing? Why was he trembling? Because it was a reverence for God that he labored not in vain, that he labored in vain. That there would be no, listen, that there would be no hindrances. That self would not be seen. He wasn't scared of them. But why would he tremble? That's the reverence he had because he was entrusted to preach this great gospel that he didn't want to get in the way. And guess what, y'all? I don't want to get in the way if God had to take me out of this place. I don't want to be the one to get in the way of somebody missing Jesus. Somebody not seeing him. So he trembled and he was with them in weakness. He came not, he could have got with them. He studied under Gamaliel. Circumcised on the eighth day. Of stock. Amen. Of the tribe of Benjamin. But he made sure he didn't come in that persona. But he was crucified that somebody might see God's power. And then he said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. And guess what, y'all? I get excited about this word. And when you're going through, just get on this word. And the word of God will lift you up. Amen. And my voice gets all excited because I don't got it down. I don't got it smooth. My wife sent me a video of a guy one time. He was teaching other preachers how to preach. Amen. And he said, the problem is, preachers, you start off too high. He said, you got to go low. And so and so. And so and so. And then when you take it up to a certain level, and then you're in gear, and then you can go even further. But you got to bring it back down. Guess what, y'all? I don't have it down pat. And there's a reason why I don't have it down pat. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and the mess that I was and the wretch that I was and what he brought me from and what he took me through, when the joy of the Lord fills and floods my soul and the shackles begin to break and the chains begin to drop. Real deliverance. Real deliverance. I need it. Amen. In my home, I need real deliverance. And the problem was, they had the gifts and the anointing and the prophetic and all these things going on the surface. But beneath the surface, there was bondage. There were people sleeping with people, men sleeping with men in the church. They were influenced by the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite, where the prostitutes hung out. They were influenced by the great education and the synagogue that was in that town. They wanted letters and all these things. And they had all this stuff, but beneath the surface, there was no true deliverance. Man, they can kick me out for real. Y'all, we need true deliverance in here. We need true deliverance. I need true deliverance in my life. Generational curses in my life. hexes and vexes chasing our children in my life. Pornography and sensuality and drugs and addiction and habitual sins and alcoholism and all these things. We need true deliverance. Somebody might look at me and be like, son, what you've been through? If you only knew. Amen. There's something called the suffering of self. Amen. And we're going to look at it. I'm not going to be up long. Amen. Is God good? Even in the midst of a hurricane, ain't he good? He's a stronghold. Where? In the day of trouble. I'm sure, and he knoweth. Amen. $2 in my pocket. Paul said, whatever state that I'm in. I'm serious. Refrigerator full or refrigerator light. I've learned we got a whole pantry down there, y'all. We just put a whole bunch of vegetables down there, collard greens and everything else. We got more than enough. Amen. Let me just keep on going. Amen. For in our text, so the first thing is there's a compelling grace. The second thing is there ought to be a compelling endurance. A compelling endurance. Amen. In verse 3, he says, giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. This is his qualification. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Approving ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience. That means endurance. Endurance in afflictions. Endurance in necessities. Endurance in distresses. Endurance in stripes. In imprisonments. In tumults. In labors. And in watchings and in fastings. So the second point is, there must be a compelling endurance. A compelling endurance. That even when you go through the trials and tribulations of life that will come, especially now that you're in relationship with Jesus Christ. See, some people think that when you get in the church and you get saved, that your troubles and your problems will go away. No, the devil going to turn them up. He going to turn them up, y'all. Because guess what? Now that you're saved, he don't want nobody else getting saved around you. And this is what was going on. This is the text. So we'll sit and let our light go out and not let it shine because of what we're going through. Amen. And guess what? When he says this, right, the compelling endurance, here we clearly see Paul was compelled to endure affliction. Because we can't get there from here. There is value in pain. I know we don't like to talk about pain. But there's value in pain. But we can't see it. We can't see the glory that God is producing in our pain. We can't see the manifestation of God that he's producing in our trials. Amen. We can't see it. But we must let suffering process. Suffering has to process. Sometimes it's got to linger there. Don't move. Don't become disobedient because of what you're going through. Don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you're going to reap. If you what? Faint not. Be encouraged, my brother. Hold on. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, guess what? Your labor is not in vain. Don't give up. Don't give in. And guess what, y'all? We've been there when we're suffering, and we'd be like, man, I'm going to fix this situation. I'm going to pull myself up, thank Minister Tobin, amen, by my bootstraps. Man, I'm going to fix this test, and I'm going to take it on. No, you've got to let it linger. Somebody say, let it linger. And what I mean by let it linger, no, we're not going out looking for suffering. But we've got to be obedient in the midst of the suffering. And it's our obedience in the midst of the suffering that God is able to produce in you what he needs to produce in you. Boy, you can go through some things and nowhere in it do you see light. Do you see God? Do you see how God can work something good out of it? And the more I thought I knew, I don't know nothing. That ain't even good. Nothing. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I don't know because I turned 50. Amen. But man, you can look back over your life and see how God has worked in your life. Can anybody look and see where you saw God's hand? Where you can't see it in the middle of. You couldn't see it in the middle of the trial. You couldn't see it in the middle of the foreclosure. You couldn't see it in the middle of the job loss. You couldn't see it then. But when you come out on the other side and you look and you see where God has brought you from. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. It is Jesus in my heart, for I've touched the hem of his garment, and now I know I've been made whole. Paul said, I'm persuaded by this love. I'm compelled by this love. The love of Christ constrains me. It propels me that even though I'm going through, amen, I'm going to keep my hands to the plow. Amen. And guess what? If we're not in love, you can forget it. Amen. There was a song in the world that said, love should have brought you home last night. And love will keep you warm at night. Not that kind of love. No, it won't. Amen. Not that love. But I'm telling you, when I think about the cross of Christ, and the fact that God says, I've loved you with the what? Everlasting love from the foundation of this world. Man, I feel like doing backflips and cartwheels down the aisle right now. Amen. But I'm going to stay up here in my lane. I'm not sick. James 1:2 says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it works patience. That means it works endurance. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to him that what? Endures. But let patience have her perfect work. Don't move, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, because Peter moved. When the Judaizers came in, into that place, Peter was sent with the Gentiles. And Peter got up because there was a spirit of influence in Galatians chapter 2 that walked in with those Judaizers. There was a spirit there in Galatia. And guess what? That same spirit was attacking him in Corinth. That's a spirit. It was a religious spirit. Pharisaical and Sadduceutical. I just made that word up. Amen. Sadduceutical. Sound good, don't it? It walked in. It walked in. And I'm going to tell all the young people, listen, there's an influence on people who are addicted to this Facebook. Yes, there's some good stuff on there. I know it. But it's funny how when somebody posts a scripture, it only get like 2 likes. But let somebody post somebody getting down on the dance floor in the church, it gets 1,000 lights. Amen. Bible says, be not ignorant of Satan's devices. There's a storm out over the ocean. On Facebook, on Instagram, social media, peer pressure, influence, carnality, and all these things. Don't move from this word. Be anchored in this word. Be planted in this word. Like the tree planted by the rivers of the water. Don't move. Don't move. Paul stepped to him, amen, and said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives with me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, and so he says, giving no offense in anything, approving yourselves as ministers, in stripes, verse 5, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. Now, verse 4 and 5, that's our death. Verse 4 and 5, that's a picture of our suffering of self and death. Verse 4 and 5. Verse 6 and verse 7 is a picture of the manifestation of the fruit. Amen. When they said that we would see Jesus and they were looking for him, he didn't want to be seen, not him himself. In John chapter 12. But he said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Y'all shouted, die. Die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And although I talk about the things that I've gone through, that nobody, listen, everybody, I got a journal. Amen. I've documented how God has worked in my life. You hear the good doctor talk about Joseph and Daniel and Abraham. Amen. And men in the Bible talking about how God worked in their lives. And the way he worked in their lives, he will work in your life. He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It what? Abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth what? Much fruit. So although verses 4 and 5 talk about, listen, y'all, man, I got glasses all over the place. I keep glasses up here. Amen. Mr. Toad called me Fred Sanford. Verses 4 and 5, listen, that's the suffering of self. That's the scourging. That's the conviction. That I'm not a bastard child, regardless of your physical father. The Bible says, whom he loves, he what? He scourges, he whippeth, he beateth. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's his conforming on us, verses 4 and 5. But then verses 6 and 7, that's the fruit, that's his manifest power. Y'all see that? By pureness, by knowledge. Long suffering, that's fruit of the Spirit. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God. The power of God. We need the power of God manifested in this place. The power of God manifested in my life. The power of God manifested in my home. Manifested in my children. Manifested in my marriage. Manifested on my job. Listen, 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 listen. Listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that my speech was not preaching of enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of spirit and in power. nobody's salvation or faith standing in this preacher. But that it may stand in the power of God. This message of death was foreign in Corinthians. And guess what? The message of death is foreign in the church right now. Somebody say, we can't get there from here. Y'all see this world? Football players getting off the bus? You should not have to bury your child from going to school and getting off the bus at 14. And the scene was riddled with 60 bullets. And thank God me and Pastor Starling had an opportunity to preach the service of an officer down in Philadelphia. And guess what, y'all? There were over 300 police officers in the place. And even the commissioner of Philadelphia, what, was there in the place. And we had an opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. And there were so many police officers in there, and we had a couple deacons with us. Deacon Jake and Deacon Norman, and I said, some of us might get nervous. I said, some people was going to come, but they didn't make it. Maybe they tags wasn't right. I had to check, make sure I didn't have no warrants. I'm good, Pastor. Y'all go ahead. Amen. But guess what, y'all? God opened up a door. He opened up a door, and the gospel message went forth amongst over 300 police officers and the family of the fallen officer. Amen. And I'm telling you, my mind, God took me back to when our own men went down to Huntington Park. And this young boy, 14, got shot over 18 times. And when the police officers showed up to the scene, they were overcome with grief. And we brought that situation up. And I told them, police officers, we shared with them that there's no amount of training. There's no amount of schooling that could prepare a person, a normal person, for anything like that. Just a baby himself. Amen. Guess what, y'all? We've got the message that the world needs to hear. We've got the message that the world needs to see. We've got the message to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We've got the solution, y'all. Enough taking guns off the street won't help. Opening up more after schools, we thank God for all these things. But that's not really what the problem is. The God said, it's not that your arm, my arms are too short that I can't deliver you. It's not that my arms are too short that I can reach you. But your sin in Philadelphia, in Bristol, in this surrounding area, our sins have separated God, amen, from us. But thank God for Jesus. And to know that he took my sin. He took my weight. He took my pain. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins. We've got to turn. We've got to repent. The Bible says we have this treasure where? An earthen vessel. That the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. Troubled on every side, but not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, somebody say always. Always bearing about in the body the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as death works in us. Somebody say life. Life works in somebody else. Amen? We can count it all joy. Listen, when we suffer, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We've got to take up our cross. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And the what? Fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship of his suffering. That I might be made conformable to his very death. Be not dismayed, people. Whatever be time, even when you're going through, God will. He will see you through. He will take care of you. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. Listen, y'all, we've got the answer. I'm serious. Listen. We've got the answer to what this world needs. We've got it. Somebody say, we got it. And guess what? It's not of us, but it's of God. I've turned my job into ministry. Y'all know that? We've got the solution. But the solution can only be produced when we die. And even after me and Pastor Starling got done, you should have saw these police officers and how they were coming up. One brother said, he said, man, we got to get y'all back down. Amen. That's what we need. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Amen. When you come through that suffering, and this is the key. You don't move. You don't try to figure it out and do things your way to alleviate. But you stay obedient. Don't move. Somebody say, don't move. You stay obedient. Amen. There was a man, Chuck Swindoll, and I haven't even listened to him in years. But he was on the radio, and this guy that was 75 years old. He said, I've looked over my life. And he said, I've learned nothing in good times. And in happiness. But he said, but it's through the suffering of self. When I don't understand it, when I can't feel my way, he said, by far, bar none, that's when I've learned the most. Listen, are we going and looking for suffering? Absolutely not. But we must remain obedient. I said the other day I was leaving out. How can people that don't know Jesus Christ, how do you make it? You can't see it. You can't feel desperation and hopelessness. It's got to be a compelling love in us. That they will see Christ in you. Wherever you go, wherever your family is, wherever your occupation is, we're charged to go into the mission field and spread this love. Our very light is compelling. To some people, it's going to be a savor of death. And to some people, it's going to be a savor of life. Let's give God praise in this place as we stand to our feet. Amen. We can stand. If there's somebody here and you want to get to know this love of Jesus Christ and you want to accept him into your heart, you can come right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I stand and I'm knocking at the door of your heart. If you want to come and accept Christ into your heart, or maybe you're in a backslidden state or condition, and you also want to come, you can also come down this aisle. Is there one? Amen. 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 Is there another? Is there another? Amen.
I am persuaded, Lord, to love you. I have been changed to bless your name. Jesus, now I love you. How I lift, hide my voice with your praise. Holy Spirit, I implore thee, drench my heart as my lips guard your praise. I am persuaded, Lord,
Shut up.